Morning, Celsi Church. I'm so grateful to be here with you today. As a church, we are looking at the theme called Built to Last, where we're looking at our foundations as followers of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that no man can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, Jesus. He himself is the foundation for the church and for our lives. So heading up to Christmas last year, we look at the person of Jesus, who he is, what he came to do on earth, and the transformation that he brings to our lives. But we did not want to stop there. So did you know that our salvation when we come to Christ is only the beginning? God still wants to work in us. So Jesus went to the Father, but he sent the Spirit to continue his work in us. And the Spirit of God is the one who gives us with the faith to receive the salvation that comes from Christ. But also, he's the one who changed our minds, to change our hearts, to change our habits, our foundations, so that who we are and what we do are aligned with the Word of God. I'm thankful for a God that doesn't do half job, but wants to continue to work in me, wants to continue to care for me, and wants to continue to bring transformation to my life. So this year's theme, Built to Last, is based on this exact picture of the Spirit working in us. Today, I continue on the Groundwork series, looking at the most fundamental foundation that we have on our Christian walk, the love of God. So believing and accepting the love of God is foundational for our lives. So right now, where you are, just stop and think. What do you make of the fact that God loves you? I want you to think about last year. I want you to think about all that was going on in the midst of all of it. We're still going through it. But I want you to think about how your thoughts, your reactions to your emotions, and how your actions reflected that you believe and that you accept that God loves you. No, we don't get to choose what happens in 2021. But we get to choose who we run to. We get to choose how we engage with God's love and how we allow Him to transform our minds, our hearts, and our actions. So when we are shaken, we are not destroyed, but we become a source of hope for those around us. So we become a source of His love. So let's open our Bible and read our key Bible verse for this series that is in Ephesians 3:16-19 that says, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there is nothing better than to rejoice and delight in the love of God for us. We want you to know and experience His love in all seasons of your life. So I'll be talking today about three ways that knowing God's love can change us. So if you have already, grab your Bible, grab your books, your journals, you make some notes. And prepare your heart to hear from God today. Will you pray with me? So Father God, I thank you so much that you called us your sons and daughters, oh God. I thank you that you invite us into this love. And I pray today, oh God, that you open up our hearts to receive from you, oh God. Open our minds, oh God. So that you can have that place in our lives, oh God, as a Father, oh God. And I pray that we will understand today, not just with our minds, but also with all that we are, oh God, that you love us, oh God, and that you open up a way for us to be intimate with you, oh God, for us to know you in an intimate way, oh God. Bring breakthrough where breakthrough is needed, oh God. And move amongst us today, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a powerful prayer, this one that we just read in Ephesians, that Paul prays over the Ephesians church. And it's so powerful to pray that over someone, that revelation to be brought to them from the Spirit, for them to know the love of God, how immeasurably God loves them, to be rooted, to be established in that love. So did you know that in that same letter that Paul wrote that prayer to the Ephesians, he, some verses above, he reveals about God's plan to extend his love to the Gentiles, to the non-Christians. And I thought quite sure that Paul called it a mystery. What Paul is saying here is that we didn't know about this before, but our God doesn't want to just be the God of Israel, but he wanted to extend his love to every man and woman. He wants every man and woman to be part of his family. So no matter your background, no matter your mistakes, no matter how your life is right now, God wants you to be part of his family. And that was mind-blowing for them. How can God want to love people who don't care about him? To love people who have no idea of who he is or what he's all about? And for many new Christians or people outside the church, this idea that God loves them is very strange. That someone they don't know loves them in such a degree that they decide to love in their place. It is a foreign concept to them. And when the Spirit brings to bring that revelation to someone that God loves them, that God died for them, is often when the Christian journey begins. We are like left in awe, we're left in gratefulness, and our response is to try to love back. But after that, after the revelation that God loves us, what do we do? What do we do after we know that God loves us? So in November last year, I shared on Everlasting Father, and we went through the reason why God revealed himself as a father to us, how he rescued us from our sins, how he gave us a new identity in him, and how he secured eternal life to us through Jesus Christ. So in November, we talk about why God loves us as a father. We talk about his eagerness to care for us, his eagerness to transform us. So already knowing that God loves us as a father, today we'll look at how we can believe, how can us accept, how we can receive and engage with our Father's love, so that we can make his love a foundation to our lives. Something that we can stand upon, something that we can depend on. So my husband and I, we have this phrase that we say when like we have an argument or we're feeling disconnected to each other. So we say head, we say heart, and we say hand. So then we not really touch heads, touch hand, touch each other's heart. But yeah, so we say these things when we know that it's because we want to bring reconciliation, to make things right again. So we may try to talk to each other to make sure our thoughts are aligned again, bring a vision together, or we may share something that's going on inside of us so we can then bring that to the table and see how we can resolve that. Or sometimes we just do something together because it means that we just need to be connected again. And I wanted to bring in this you today because I think this is going to help us to understand three ways that knowing God's love can change us. So knowing God as your Father impacts you in three different ways: head, heart, hand. So I'm talking here about our minds, our thoughts, and I'm talking about our emotions, our feelings, and I'm talking about our actions. So when the love of God is foundational in our lives, all three of these are impacted. So I heard this in a message by Tim Keller, and I want to bring to you. He used different words, but I want to bring a few things that he said there. So relating to head, he said, like, you can have someone with a very intellectual faith They read a lot and know so much about theology and philosophy, but little change is happening in their lives and their behavior. Little character growing, little joy and peace. What they say and what they do, they don't match up. Relating to heart, you can have someone with a very emotional faith. So they cry in worship and they get really excited about the preach, but there's no change in their actions and no transformation in their thoughts. And then hunt. You can have someone with a very someone who is very disciplined and serve in many ways, but there's no personal opening to God. Everything is mechanical, everything is dry. There's no sense that God is working in them. So having the love of God as foundational in our lives is when that information that God loves us as a Father, it overflows from our minds to our emotions and then to our actions. So you know that God loves you. Your emotions then are aligned with that truth. And then your actions reflect that belief that you have. And the only way for that to happen is for us to engage with the Holy Spirit, to engage with what He wants to do in us. If today your life, your thoughts, your emotions don't reflect that you know the love of God as a Father, God wants to bring change. You find yourself doubting God. It may be that you're lacking your knowledge of God, who He is. If your relationship with God is dry or mechanical, you need an encounter with God and let Him transform you from the inside. If you find yourself always feeling guilty towards God, it may be that you need to encounter freedom in being part of His family. So I want to continue to talk with you around this idea of head, heart, hand. So let's start with head. So who you think God is the most important thing in your life. If you have a distorted view on God, your whole view on life is distorted. So I'm reading a book right now from A.W. Tozer called The Knowledge of the Holy, and talks exactly about this idea that the most important thing about a church or about an individual is what they make of God. What we say about God and what we leave unsaid about God reveals so much about who we think He is. Tozer says that it's impossible to keep our moral practice sound and our inward attitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. He says that in order to bring spiritual power back to our lives, we must begin to think of God as nearly as He is. So in the book of Romans, Paul warns about the danger of having an inadequate view of God. So let's open in Romans 1 that says, "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godliness and unrighteousness of people, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them. Because God has shown it to them, for His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly since the creation of the world, being understood through what He has made. As a result, people are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for image resembling mortal men, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles." Paul is saying here that wrong ideas about God lead us to a place of idolatry, a place of making sense of the world around us with other things than God. If we cannot answer the question, what is God like, accordingly to what He has taught us and shown us, that wrong view of God will enable us to experience and receive His love, God's Father love for us. For us to receive it, we first must seek to find who He is, to find out who He is. We also know that knowing God is not a mere intellectual exercise. It is also a personal experience. You don't just know that God loves you as a father. You can see it. You can experience it. We have heard many times that we can know about a person without knowing, really knowing them. There's a difference between informational knowing and personal knowing. So you may remember when you first met someone for the first time, you sat with them in a coffee place, and you start to change information about each other. And while you start talking, while you start building that relationship, it gets to a point where that you cross, where you stop just sharing information, and then you start becoming personal to each other. So you start to talk about things that really affect you, things that really matter to you. You start being vulnerable. And when that happens between you two, both of you, it's normally when a friendship happens and starts. So you cannot know someone intimately without knowing basic information about them. If we want to know God intimately, we need to know who He is first. So my generation loves shortcuts and things should be done quickly. So nowadays you can go online and just Google about someone, or you can go to their Instagram profile and you're gonna know a bunch of information about them. You can collect a lot of information about someone secondhand without going through the process of being vulnerable, of taking risks, and the commitment that it takes of knowing someone personally. Today, we are talking about God's Father heart. And the premise for us to start going deeper with this is that if you want to know God as your Father and have a personal relationship with Him, you need to get to know who He is. So Tim Keller says, you can know about God without knowing about the Bible. But you cannot know God without knowing the Bible. So basically what he's saying, to know God, you need to know what the Bible says about Him. So we need to grab our Bibles. We need to grab our Bibles, we need to read it. Not with the intention of having a bit of encouragement. Not wanting to pick and choose what we believe or not about Christianity. Not just get some cute quotes. We need to grab our Bibles and read it so we know who God is. So we know Him. And we'll find out so much about Him, isn't it? We can find out that He is love. We can find out that He has this love for us, like we've been talking. But we also can find out that He is grace, and He is justice, and He is power, and He is authority, and the list goes on. God, in His fullness, loves you. All that He is loves you. And you need to get to know Him. But then, there is heart. We cannot read the Bible, we cannot listen to a preach like God is something to be studied. He's not a school subject, He's a person. So we need to get personal. We need to read the Bible and do whatever we do in life, engaging with God. Engage with what the Spirit is doing, what the Spirit is saying to us. So in my last message to you, I talked to you about the work of the Spirit in us, that through new birth in Jesus, we get to have a new transformed heart that has the ability of accepting the love of God as a Father. So let's read in Galatians 4:6 that says, and because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the Spirit teaches us to relate to God in a very close and very vulnerable way. And in order for us to have God's love as foundational in our lives, He has to fill our whole hearts. He has to fill it all. And for that, we need to make space. The Spirit teaches us how to make space in our hearts for God. By learning and knowing who God is, the Spirit teaches us that we don't need anything else apart from God. When you know who God is, you know that you don't need anything else. Because what happens is that when our knowledge of God is inadequate, we bring more things to fill our hearts because we don't believe God can complete it. We try to strive in our strength, or we make something else our God. But what's the answer? The answer is surrender. Completely trust. Faith like a little child. So it's not merely connecting our emotions to God and being able to be open and raw to Him. It's actually surrendering our feelings to Him. It's trusting our Father. Trusting that He can help us make sense of our feelings, make sense of what's going on in the world, and use it to bring growth to us and glory to Him. It's also letting God deal with what's going on inside of us, change our negative thoughts, and help us grow from our sinful behaviors. The Bible actually tells about this. Let's open in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, that says, "We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete." When we know who God is, we know what attitudes and feelings raise up from us that are not from Him. We see it and we run to our Father for Him to help us sort it out. So a heart that knows the love of God is fast to repent because it knows of the abundant grace of God. Is fast to deal with the problems that arise in the soul, because knows of the healing power, the transformational work of the Spirit. So let us let the knowledge that we have about God, that we found in His Word, His love for us as a Father, transform the way that we react to our emotions and the way that we lead with our difficulties. So let us let the love of God, the knowledge that we have of who He is, be who lead the way that we react to what's happening right now in the world. And then finally, we have our hands. So our habits and what we do show what we make of God. So they reflect our experience of Him. So Ephesians 5:5 says that, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us." As children of God, we are called to imitate Him. Not with empty actions, out of duty, or trying to gain His love. When what we know of God transforms our thinking and our feelings, we get to see Him in us and acting through us. We have hearts with desire to imitate God and to walk with Him. Faith overcomes fear and we are able to live for Him. We submit all that we do to Him. So the longer we spend knowing who God is, knowing His heart, His personality, the way that He moves, how He acts, the more natural will be for us to act like Him. So then our actions will match up with our theology, with what we believe. So I'm going to finish now in Hosea 6:6 that says, "For I desire faithful love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." You know, since the beginning that God created us, He was called us to look at Him, to see Him, to know Him, and when we do, when we look at Him, the only thing that we find there for us is love, is compassion, is grace, is mercy. You know, under His love, there is not just this awe and gratefulness for all this love that we never can give back, but also there's freedom that you and I can experience today. Freedom of being able to live for God, of being able to match up our actions with what we believe. There's nothing more frustrating than being in a situation where you want to talk about God and you feel can't. There's not more frustrating than in a situation where you know you could be sharing about Him, you know you could be praying for someone, you know you could be doing something for Him, but you just freeze it. You just can't do it. You know, it is when we walk with Him daily, letting the Spirit transform us, that we can walk in this freedom of not just knowing about Him, not just feeling Him and experience His presence in worship time, but actually day to day, acting and imitating Him and experience Him and seeing His love. God has so much more for us. And it is my prayer that you and I will experience this in this season. So God is inviting you to experience His love daily, getting to know more of who He is, getting to know His heart and seeing how He moves. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us, oh God. A love that we can try and try and try. We may never understand how we could get such a gift, oh God. But we don't want to take it for granted, oh God. We want to respond it. We want to engage with it, oh God. And we want to pursue you, oh God. Pursue you. Pursue to know who you are, oh God. Pursue to know your heart, oh God. Pursue to see you moving here in this world, oh God. Thank you so much that you come to make us your sons and daughters. That you come to transform our hearts, oh God. So I pray for each one of us, oh God, that we will align our thoughts with the person of who you are, with who you are, oh God. We align our emotion, our reaction to our emotions with that belief that we know that you love us, oh God. And we act in a way that we sing you, oh God. We act imitating who you are, oh God, imitating you. God, I pray that you transform us from the inside, our God, so that the knowledge that we have that you love us, oh God, will become real to us, become true. And that we overflow to everything that we are, God. That we overflow to everything that we do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.